Welcome back to another week of The Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman with my co-host, Jay Farrar, and we're ready to go. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
Great, man.
Good.
Great. Been a really busy, good week. And
ready. Yeah, tell me about it.
Ready to do the show.
Okay. Welcome back.
Thanks, man. Oh, I was barely gone. Come on. Okay. You didn't even have time to miss me.
I didn't even know you were gone.
There you go. Yeah. I was gone less than a night. It was a very quick road trip.
Okay.
Which sometimes that's how it has to be. The accommodations fall through and
you were in...
Yeah, thank goodness you didn't drink and you head back on the road home.
You were in Hamilton?
I was in Hamilton.
Well, I'd only be there for a night, too.
No, I was supposed to spend the evening in Toronto, but thought better of it.
Okay.
It was a great time. It was a wonderful time in Hamilton. Got a few suggestions from our friends, the Arkells, as to where to go and... where to have a beer before the show and all the rest of that. And then headed down to Ivor Wynne Stadium, or as my buddy Paul has called it for as long as I've known him, Ivor Lose.
Ridiculous.
Built in 1928. And I mean, I know Percival Molson was built in, I think, 1920-something.
Mm-hmm.
But this has just a real old feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike any concert I've seen in a football stadium before... this was The Hip and Sam Roberts, and they set the stage up like it was halftime at a football game, and the stage was facing one set of stands, and the other set of stands weren't sold. It was just one side that they sold tickets for, and because of that, the sound was just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, little rock and roll in a Canadian Football League stadium, and they're closing Ivor Wynne down, so...
Lots of people? Was there a lot of people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the tickets that were available were sold out. So, I mean, it's a 30,000-seat stadium. I think they only sold half the seats. So, there you
15,000.
Go. 15,000. If that's the math, yeah. If that's what 30 divided by 2 equals, then sure.
I know this.
Okay, cool. You have anything exciting to add? Did you do anything cool this weekend?
Did I do anything cool? No, it was a very busy week. Yeah, well, I did do something cool. We had Joe Kearns at the pub, and that was a lot of fun.
I know that guy. He was on our show last week.
Put on a hell of a performance. The guy played for almost 4 hours.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. Kept it going and going and going all night. And
not shocking at all. Anybody who's seen Joe knows that he absolutely brings it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, we got our money's worth. I'll tell you that.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, great show, a lot
especially
of fun.
Especially since you hinted that you were paying him in lobster.
Yeah. we had some left over. No, he didn't accept the lobster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know.
I don't know what to say.
I know.
You'd think that would be such a delicacy for an Irishman.
I know. A lot of people.
Not many lobsters in Ireland.
I can understand how people are apprehensive about buying lobster in a pub. It's kind of like pizza. You're not used to it, but
no, way scarier than pizza.
Yeah,
it's like having clam chowder in a pub that's not in Massachusetts.
That's right.
You know, there's just certain things that you mussels in a pub, but we just got things that scare you.
We
you
got
know?
Nothing but great feedback from
awesome
it.
Man.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, yeah, there were a couple of pictures that were out and about on the social media thingies that we look at, and yeah, it looked like a fun time had by all.
It was a great week. Just happy to get a couple of days off because it was trying, but it was good.
Well, good. You're
a lot of
here
fun.
And you're relaxing.
I'm ready to
now.
Be back on Wednesday.
This is not anywhere near the level of stress that you're used to in
but
your
speak
other
for
job.
Yourself, Kaufman.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to stress you out. Take a breath.
It's not. I love it.
Take a breath.
This is beautiful. I enjoy this.
Good. Good. As you should. Have you had a chance to watch any of the playoffs?
I have.
When I haven't been on the road touring to follow the hip around, that's what I've been doing.
I have. I watched that Detroit game yesterday, which was just a great, great game.
The noon start.
The noon start, yeah.
God, poor Oakland. Yeah. I feel like they just got screwed left, right, and center this series, having to cross the country after winning the division, facing Verlander, and then having to play at 9 a.m. their time.
Yeah.
So,
and then almost pulling it off in game two and just getting beaten at the end. And
Reddick with that huge home run. And then, yeah.
Yeah. And
the
then,
wheels kind of came off.
Then some guy named Don with a.
Don Kelly, man. Come on.
Some guy named Don with a blooping sacrifice fly to right field. And
Jim Leland's favorite player. He's their Jamie Carroll.
Yeah.
He's the character guy. He's their Mike Keane, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
We
have tall, lanky looking guy. You know, yeah.
Nothing but love and respect for the character.
That's the
guys.
Best thing about baseball is these guys that come out a la Francisco Cabrera and just pull it off and then you never see him again. You
it's
know?
Too
but
funny.
Don Kelly's been around for a little while. He's been around for about 5 years or so.
You know what the name that came to my mind was there?
What?
You said Francisco Cabrera, and in my mind I went Mark Lemke.
Mark Lemke.
So for some reason,
what's
you and I are both stuck in early 1990s Atlanta Braves for our cultural references.
I'm stuck in early 1990s, period.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
My memory doesn't work very well post 2000.
What year did you graduate from high school?
1994.
Ah, there's the explanation.
Right? Uh-huh. After that, it's a blank.
That's right.
Yeah. Know what happened.
That's when the brain cells start to...
No, that's when you hit your 20s and start experimenting. But anyway, that's a whole different other story.
Not with baseball, you mean?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you watched the Oakland game.
I did.
And
I enjoyed it very much. It's been a while since I've sat down, really relaxed, and watched baseball instead of having it on in the background.
And then the night games last night were Baltimore, New York.
Right.
And
didn't catch that one. I can't watch the Yankees. I don't know why. Didn't bother me.
And it was also Cincy and San Fran.
That's right.
Which was, a total mess if you're a Giants fan.
Mm-hmm.
Arroyo worked on a no-hitter for two-thirds of that game.
Yeah.
This has been my series, the one that's on TV in the studio right now that is distracting me as we speak. Are there two outs in the ninth right now? One out in the ninth. No, those are two little dots. Jimmy, why don't we put this up? We got give you the
two
last...
Two outs at the top of the ninth.
The pitch, fastball outside, ball two.
He went four-seamer there, keeping it away from him, not wanting to creep back over the middle of the plate.
Baltimore's leading 3-2, top of the ninth inning, two outs.
Center fielder just took about five, six steps to his right, more from right center over to straightaway center field. 2-1 the count on A-Rod, and the pitch, sinker swung on and missed. Nasty stuff, 2-2.
Right back to the sinker, and boy, is that late. That's video game sharp.
I mean, if you're Johnson, you can't throw him anything but that pitch now, can you?
Nope. You can lock him up on one away where you go away, off the, and then, but I stay inside and try and jam him. You're going to get a ground ball to third, pulled foul, or an out.
the 2-2 and a check swing foul off. Excuse me, says Alex Rodriguez. Just kind of reaching the bat out into the zone and deflecting it at the last second.
It was the one on the outside corner they went with. Towards the left-hand batter's box, creeping back to the outside corner. Alex checking his swing like it was going to be a ball, and it came back so far it hit the bat.
3-2 Baltimore. Two outs. Top of the ninth, nobody on. Cano on deck should it continue. 2-2 on A-Rod. And time called at the very last second.
Wieters calls fastball away, then he calls fastball in. Johnson kept shaking. Wieters puts down curveball, doesn't like it, so immediately mid-windup called timeout. He wants himself and Johnson to be on the same page. That shows the youngster behind the plate. He puts down great fingers in his control of this game.
A-Rod back in. Johnson looking into Wieters. Again, the 2-2, down and away, a full count.
That was the first pitch that looked like Johnson really didn't commit to mentally. Kind of spiked it into the ground there, right by the plate.
One of the game's best hitters is on deck at Robinson Cano. Can Johnson finish it here? A-Rod digging back in. Johnson looking in. Ready to go. 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him. And the Orioles win it. Jim Johnson bounces back from a tough outing last night and sends this ballpark into delirium here in Baltimore as the Orioles win it 3-2 and even up the best of
all right, well, there you have it. There you have it. Our thanks to Fan590 for the into ESPN Radio for the call. I like that, a little live baseball look-in on the Kaufman Show.
That's fun.
That was pretty awesome.
I need a beer. I'm going to watch baseball, Kaufman. You got to accommodate me.
I can offer you a sip of my double-double or this half finished Fiji
what
water.
What is it? Pretentious water. No, thank you.
But it's only half finished.
Well, of course it is. It's so filling. It's from the waters of Fiji.
That's right. This tropical
sure it is.
Shangri-La, if
that's
you will.
That's right. Yeah, sure.
All right,
it
so the Orioles, man. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. A big market Yankee fan over
me?
Here? Not at all, right?
No.
Right.
I'm glad. I'm happy to see Baltimore win against, especially the Yankees.
I like the underdog.
I like any time the Yankees lose. Anytime.
This is the one year where I have a bit more of a feeling for the Yankees with Russ Martin and with Ichiro. And I don't know if you saw the play tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Not often that I tell you guys to not stick around the radios, but you have to go and check out this play by Ichiro.
I saw that.
He danced. He dodged a tag. He looked like Neo in the Matrix.
No, he looked like Ichiro is what he looked like. That's what he does.
He dodged a Matt Wieters tag at the plate and basically faked him out and ran around and then dove under the glove and got the run. And it was just the most Ichiro thing I've ever Ichiro'd in my Ichiro. That's how to say that, right?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So that's that. We baseball is done for the evening. And the Orioles and Yankees have a series now. Baltimore needs to go into Yankee Stadium and take 2 out of 3. Which seems terrifying, but then
not this Baltimore team.
That's right. If you remember that Oriole magic.
Hey, listen, if any team can pull this off, it's them. They're riding a high right now, and they just got to get it together a little bit.
That's pretty much how I feel about, even still, about Oakland. And I know that we promote this show on the podcast throughout the week, and this could be very easily a pointless conversation if Oakland loses tomorrow night. But I don't know, man. There's some magic there, too, and I don't see that team bowing out in 3 games. That's for sure. So that's that. We're going to talk a little postseason MLB later on tonight with a former major leaguer. We'll be joined by Chad Cordero.
Nice.
Yeah, I look forward to his take on the Nats. I wonder if he feels the same relationship with the team as he did when he was with them, or if he's back to cheering for the team that he cheered for when he grew up.
And as a former Expo, it'd be interesting to see what his view is on the Nationals. Well, I mean, he played for them, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't have my reservations on it.
No, and we heard all about it in your little article, Dave Kaufman.
Yeah, why don't we talk about that when we come back?
We will.
Break. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. This is from the new hip album, The Modern Spirit. Driving it like a stone. And where Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. Here to entertain your earbuds till the early morning hours. Been a long day, Mr. F. Had a lot of coffee today. Had a lot of coffee this week, actually.
I'm just putting it in Gallo's face on Twitter right now. So
putting what in Gallo's face? This is radio. You need to explain to everybody exactly what you're putting in somebody's
well,
face.
Well, what do you think? Everybody knows that Gallo's a big Yankees fan, so I'm just I'm going to work on him right now.
I could hear you typing through the microphone.
That's right. I'm doing it on purpose in order to show, in order to pantomime what I'm doing.
Pantomime. I don't know what to say.
I just said that A-Rod being the last out on the game is just as good as a World Series win for me. I will sleep well tonight.
Wow. That's,
hatred. That's hatred, that's Kaufman.
Yeah. I'm not so down with the old hatred.
Against A-Rod? Why not?
I'd rather
Poor guy's had it so bad in life. Screw him.
You know, it's a weird one. Do you think he's an automatic Hall of Famer or no? Or do you think the PED stuff?
You know, I kind of gave up on this whole Hall of Fame, and they didn't. I mean, it's the Hall of Fame. You know, somebody said something interesting to me once who knows nothing about baseball. Well, if it's a Hall of Fame and they're famous, shouldn't they be in it? So I thought, you know, that's a good point when you think about it.
Oh, I think that criteria needs to be explained.
Well, yeah, that's just semantics. What they should do is just make like a they should make a top 10 list. And if the person applies to this top 10 criteria,
yeah,
then they should be in the Hall of Fame.
Just like that.
Never did steroids, did this, did that, dominated the game at one point.
Yeah, but then it's a numbers game. Then it's a numbers game. It's 500 home runs. It's 3,000 hits. It's 300 wins.
Leave the numbers out of it because apparently they are.
So then it turns into
Jim Rice is in the Hall of Fame. They're clearly leaving numbers out of it.
Was he a nice guy? Was he good to the press? So much of it's that, Jim.
Exclude that stuff.
Well, it's the press that do the voting. Right?
I know. I mean, so stupid.
That probably is. Well, no. I think the stupidest part is that it's just the baseball writers.
Mm-hmm.
Not the radio, not the TV. Shockingly, not the bloggers. I can't believe that you would have
leaving
thought that
the bloggers.
You would have thought that for
the bad end of the stick again.
At least 25 or 30 years, they would have included the bloggers for Hall of Fame voting.
Why would they do that?
Such a myopic view from those in Major League Baseball. I mean, these bloggers have been part of our sports journalism institution forever.
It's tough. Again, how did we get into this?
You're not taking my bait, eh?
No. How did we get into this Hall of Fame deal here?
I don't know. I blame Kevin Paul DuPont.
A-Rod is a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
He is.
He's also
he should be punished like the rest of them for a little while. So
you know,
put him in 15 years.
You know, he's only 100 hits short of 3,000.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that we could be having a conversation about a guy who's this close to breaking the home run record and 3,000 hits, and we're still debating sort of the merits of whether he's a Hall of Famer or not.
Well, because of the steroid thing.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the elephant in the room, if I may.
It very much is.
So it's he's going to go down just as like the other ones will. He'll be avoided for a long time, and then in about 15 years down the road, they'll throw him in.
Okay.
Because everybody forgives everything.
Before we go into the Expo stuff, as they should, that's right. You forgive and you forget.
That's right.
Right?
Will ever forget. Nobody will ever forget. I'll be 90 years old, and I'm like, you know, the guy was juiced up, right? You know, you'll never forget it. And you know what? If he has to bear that stigma, so be it.
Jay, who in the Hall of Fame right now has done steroids?
We don't know.
Right, but for sure it exists. For sure there is somebody in Cooperstown with a plaque that has done steroids.
Yeah, mostly guys who played in the 70s and 80s, which right now I don't think there's anybody who actually...
No,
I mean, there's
80s.
Guys that finished their careers in the 90s, but I mean, those who were at their peak in the 80s.
80s, 90s.
Yeah.
80s, 90s. I mean, we're seeing 90s superstars get into the Hall of Fame.
Early 90s superstars, yeah. Roberto Alomar, and yeah, there's a couple of guys going in now. Now is the time. For a long time, we're going to get a lot of crappy guys in the Hall of Fame because people don't forgive or forget, and they probably shouldn't.
This should open the door for Tim Raines. I mean, I've been saying that for a while now.
But right.
You would think that this would open the door for the Tim Raines type of ball player.
Right.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. There could be like scab Hall of Famers, you know?
Well, it's the Hall of Very Good, right?
Right. Now, yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying that that's what the outside class is.
Yeah.
But...
Just put them all in there. Who cares? Doesn't really make a difference.
Kind of do. But you know me.
There's over 200 plaques in the Hall of Fame now.
Exactly.
What's the difference if we have 300? There's no difference now. It doesn't make... I mean, you know, in the 30s, when they opened the damn thing up, yep. It made sense. It made sense because, you know, there were 11 guys inducted or something like that.
Oh,
it's like, wow.
I think the first class was like six or something. And the names of the guys who didn't make the first ballot are insane.
I know, of course.
Like the second class of Hall of Famers is just wild.
Right. And then the third and fourth. And then eventually you went over, I think there's 250, give or take.
Yeah, right roughly. Now. Roughly. Yeah. But when you think about that percentage-wise versus how many people have played the game,
yeah,
it's unbelievable. And shows what an open-door policy they have in Toronto for the Hockey Hall of Fame. Oh, and I drove by the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame in Hamilton this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And that's our CFL discussion for today.
I met a Football Hall of Famer last week, and it was great.
Was that Matt Dunnigan?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Great guy.
All right. I watched Gord Downey imitate Angela Mosca this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually kind of cool the way they have the retired numbers set up at Ivor Wynn. They have just these names along the, I guess it's like their luxury suite / press box.
Luxury suite.
I know.
that's like putting whipped cream on a piece of crap.
And we'll let that sit for a second. Two and three. And we're back. Okay. Yeah. Jay, your thoughts on the that very interesting Gazette op-ed that was written by somebody with my name. Okay, fine. It was me. You got me. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
Excellent article, Dave. You're a good writer, actually.
Nah. I'm all right. I got good editors.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we've had this discussion before. It's kind of obvious the way you feel and the way that I feel. And...
Yeah, but I don't understand how your feelings differ from what I put out there. I wrote for everybody that isn't aware. Go to montrealgazette.com. I wrote an article basically saying that it really hurts to see the Nationals succeed and make the playoffs, and hopefully with each Nats win, it strengthens our resolve to get a team back, and that maybe looking to the Sonics and or the Sonics gate model and what they've done to organize in Seattle would be a good way to start.
Right. And I agree with
that. And I did it in like 750 words. So
I agree with that.
There's a little bit more meat to it.
It doesn't hurt me to watch the Nats because I'm past, you know, equating them with the Expos, that's the Expos. I mean, they've avoided any, for the first 5 years, at least they avoided any kind of mention of the Montreal Expos.
Yeah, your brother made a very good point to me, actually. We spoke after the article was published, and he said that the Nationals only put up the tribute to Andre Dawson and Gary Carter after Dawson was inducted to the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
So from 2005 to 2010, they did nothing to
acknowledge absolutely nothing.
The Expos.
And especially Gary Carter was already in the Hall of Fame.
I wish I'd remembered that.
And we had retired numbers.
I told your brother that
didn't carry over until Dawson was inducted.
I told your brother that if I'd had the opportunity, I wish that I had spoken to him before submitting the article, because if I had known that, I would have put that in there.
Oh, I mean, you know, I mean, your point is valid, but I don't see it that way anymore. And I do agree with you in the way that I want these guys to succeed. If for anything, to light a fire under people's asses and say, geez, you know, that could have been us. That you know, it'll remind people, because the Nationals have been basically in the cellar. Nobody really talks about them.
Exactly.
In fact, a lot of people don't even know what happened to the Expos, the casual person or the non-baseball fan.
I feel like the casual person right now is quick to get on board with this Nationals thing.
Yes.
And if
my father.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, I had a half an hour argument
Gary,
with
not
him
you, Gary. I know you're listening, so no, Gary.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
He's not listening. He's watching Jon Stewart.
Better than that. Well, okay. Yeah.
He's like, you know.
No, Stewart's monologue is finished. He's back onto us now.
Okay, good. Well, my dad my dad was like, well, aren't you going for the Nationals? I'm like, why the hell would I do that? Well, they were the Expos. I'm like, who cares?
Wow.
Who cares? Are you wearing a National shirt? Oh,
no.
National. Okay, you scared me. Kicked the crap out of Kaufman.
No, this is a National League t-shirt.
Okay. You're a fan of the National League,
I
are
am.
You?
I am. I much prefer it to the American League.
Who gave you that, Bud Selig?
No,
who's a National League fan?
I'll tell you who got this for me. Friend of the show, Max Harris, got this for me.
Ah, okay.
It is a David Wright All-Star Game t-shirt.
Oh.
Max went to the All-Star Game in Pittsburgh many years ago.
Beautiful mustard yellow.
And came back with this Pittsburgh-esque yellow National League shirt. And it's funny, I have a few National League. I have a National League Kosuke Fukudome jersey.
Huh?
Kosuke?
Yes.
Fukudome.
Same to you, buddy.
All right. Well, okay. Once upon a time, he was shockingly an all-star. And it was the year that the game was in New York City.
Darren Fletcher was an all-star. Didn't?
Well, exactly.
The all-star game's like the Hall of Fame
and
now.
And if Darren Fletcher had been in the all-star game that year, his jersey, batting practice jersey, would have probably been about the same price as Fukudome's.
Right. Oh, I see. Is that why you purchased it?
It was why I was able to afford it.
Ah.
But it says National across the front. And once again, it draws a lot of, what is that?
I just want to wear something with Fukudome written on it. Start crossing out letters and putting some in.
Jay, you don't even have to cross any out.
Okay.
Fukudome.
Yeah.
Fukudome.
Okay.
Or however you want to
pronounce. I feel bad for anybody named Dom.
514-790-1690. Let's open up those phones, Jay. Once again, new number, same station. 514-790-1690. The toll-free line, if you're out of town, 1-866-896-2546. You can reach me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. Jay is at Jay Pub Radio. Whoa, where did this guy come from? Let's go to John in Denver. Hello, sir.
Long time no speak, gentlemen.
How are you?
I just got back from under the rock in the cave on Mars. How
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Are you the idiot tweeting out the Mars rovers checked in on Foursquare and all that crap?
I did that a few months ago, yeah. That was great.
What's going on, man?
Oh, man.
You must be missing hockey, eh?
What was that?
You must be missing hockey, eh?
Yeah, all my sports teams suck. It's feeling like alive all over again. Except I'm eating my own face this time.
Well, that sounds
pleasant. I'm going bath salts on myself.
You must be incredibly flexible, John. If whatever you're doing right now doesn't work out for you, I'd totally say go for Cirque du Soleil.
No. It's called amateur surgeon.
Do you wish that you still had Tim Tebow in Denver?
Not even a little.
Okay. Okay, good.
This team's problems are far worse than quarterback. Like, our offensive line is barely better than the one we have at the University of Colorado, which is basically me and three people standing there with our hands in our pockets while everyone else rushes the quarterback.
Fair enough.
There's talent issues on this team.
Do you at least like the Nuggets? I mean, that's starting out soon, right?
I had sworn off the NBA after the decision. And I think
how did the decision affect you? Excuse me?
It disgusted me. I know, right?
You know that decision raised like $3 million for the Boys and Girls Club in Akron, Ohio?
I don't care. It disgusted me.
Won't you think of the children, John, in Denver?
Won't somebody please? I think we have Helen Lovejoy for that, my friend.
Anything else going on then?
Try to get my show up. I'm starting a radio show in Denver.
Oh, good. Well, why don't you give it a plug for our huge Denver audience?
I'll wait until it's official.
All right, John. Have yourself a great night.
Hey,
thanks
can
for
I have
checking
you
in.
As a guest?
Anytime.
Fantastic.
Anytime. Send me a Facebook message. I'll be glad to come on your show and talk about stuff that people in Denver could care less about. It'd be my pleasure.
Well, you could talk about Larry Walker. I'm sure they'd mildly care about that.
There you go. I have a lot of really relevant current Larry Walker stories to tell.
Have a good one, buddy.
Thanks, John. Have a good one. There he goes. John in Denver. It's been a long time, Jay.
Yeah.
Come on, man. As the co-host, you got to do more than one word answers.
Shocking that he said he was on another planet.
I want to hear that radio show, man.
You do?
That's going to be a trip.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure it will be.
Chad Cordero will be joining us in about a half an hour's time or so. We have to wait for the fireworks to end at Disneyland. That's not a euphemism for anything.
The fireworks at Disneyland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be over around.
You ever been to one of the Disney places?
I have many times, the one in Florida when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Not since I was like 11 or 12.
Okay.
The last time I was there was during the Dream Team Olympics.
Okay.
I remember walking around in my Team USA. I don't remember if it was Bird or Jordan, but I had one of their jerseys.
You had a Team USA jersey?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I was in the USA, and
I'm just quietly judging you.
I see that. I was 12. You want to keep judging 12-year-old Dave Kaufman?
Yeah.
All right, bring it on.
Come on. You should know better when you're 12.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. It was the it was a magical summer.
I went to Disneyland.
Bill Clinton was captivating the nation with his visions of hope and change, while Ross Perot was touting fiscal responsibility. It was just a heady time.
If you were
friend.
Aware of that. What are you making excuses about you being 12 and wearing a Team USA jersey?
The Simpsons was you know, something new and bold and exciting at that time that we were all...
Here we go again with the early 90s.
It felt good to be American in 1992, Jay.
Did it?
What can I say?
Yeah, while they were raging war in Iraq for no reason. Anyway, yeah,
I think
okay.
That was 91, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so that was already, you know, that was done.
Uh-huh.
They'd won, according to Bush Sr.
Yeah, yeah, and then Clinton bombed the hell out of Yugoslavia. But anyway, he never did anything
wrong. Oh, come on,
that's
more like 95,
isn't okay.
It?
Yeah, so that, in between
that was 95.
Those...
That was Wag the Dog, man.
Okay,
that was
in between those crimes of humanity,
yep.
Everything was cool.
Hunky
peace
dory.
Peace and prosperity.
Hunky dory, okay. Exactly. Peace and prosperity, like the Washington Senators.
That's right.
First in peace, first in diplomacy, last in the American League. Meanwhile, it was interesting to watch them play today. I avoided
the Washington Senators?
Or the Nationals.
Oh, okay.
I avoided them like the plague. Yesterday.
I was going to say, the Twins aren't playing anymore. Those are the Washington Senators, aren't they? The second incarnation of the Washington Senators.
Do you think that the people of Washington had to deal with the congrats to the Senators/Twins franchise in 87 and 91?
No. You know why?
Why?
Because they didn't give a crap. That's why.
I'm talking about...
They're all Orioles fans by then.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Too much time had passed... Since the Senators have been around at least 20 years at that point, I would think. It was the late 60s, wasn't it?
I wanted to say 72,
but
it could have been earlier.
I think it was in the 60s that the Senators played their last game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So then maybe 69 was the... I know Ted Williams was the manager.
It was the early 60s.
No.
Yeah,
no,
because
there were two. There was another incarnation, right? One went to Minnesota, one went to Texas.
I know, but I can remember Harmon Killebrew playing in the early 60s. I can't actually remember
obviously.
But, yeah, with the Twins at the time. Anyway, we got John. John, look
yeah,
it up.
It'd be good. You know, we have
two guys sitting
here staring at computers.
Yeah,
that's right.
We're trying to figure out things that we
should
John
know. Hey, John Kakalakis. How you doing, John?
Very good. Yourselves?
Good. Are you looking up when the Nationals left Washington? The Senators left Washington?
1961.
Beautiful. And then the second incarnation?
That was the second incarnation.
No, that was the second incarnation.
Oh, you're kidding
you.
Me.
Yeah.
So wait, when did Texas become...
1961.
No, Texas Rangers have not been in Texas since 1961.
No, the Texas Rangers were who?
1971. The fourth incarnation was from 1961 to 1971.
Thank you. Ted Williams was their manager.
That's
at the
right.
End.
That's right.
Thought so.
Yeah.
Thought so.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good
we got
for them.
That settled.
Good for them. Did you see Bryce Harper's eye black today?
What an idiot.
Ted Bird tweeted that he looked like Marty Sheen in Apocalypse Now. Somebody else I saw write that he looked like the Ultimate Warrior.
I know. I think I saw Benjamin Christensen tweet from parts unknown Bryce Harper. It was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
I got to say.
You look like a member of Demolition.
I'm so happy for Ben. Knowing that he's gotten all to tour around the country. And
yeah.
See, Benjamin Christensen was one of our baseball correspondents throughout the summer. And he started the year in the MLB Fan Cave. And I'm pretty sure that when he left the Fan Cave, the A's were in last place. And wow, did they turn it around. And he got to be along for that ride. And I've got to think that watching those highs and lows in person has got to be a hell of a lot better than sitting on a couch on Broadway and 4th.
And being around it.
Yeah.
Firsthand. And it's a year he'll never forget. It's kind of like his 94 to us, you know?
Yeah, if we'd had a bit more... finality in 94.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I had season tickets in 94. Well, my dad did anyway, you know, so it was great to be there and see everything live.
Yeah. 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 But I just mean, you know, if 94 had gone into, say, October.
Right.
That would have been swell.
Yeah.
Hey, even September would have been nice.
Right.
Everybody always takes for granted that the Expos would have won the World Series that year. I don't. I don't think that that's a fair thing to say. How often does the best team in baseball get bounced?
All the time.
How often does a Texas Rangers had a 5-game lead with 9 games to play and blew it? Expos had a 6-game lead with what, 45 games to play?
Right.
There are no guarantees in life.
There was something different about that team.
Yeah, it was good. It was the best.
It was good. It was young, and they didn't give a damn.
Yeah.
They didn't care who they were playing. They knew they were going to win.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the difference between them and, you know, maybe a more refined team that you see in the postseason now. Although the Nationals are very young, you know, Oakland is the same way.
They are.
Yeah.
So I was told to let go today. That maybe I should let go a little bit and it wouldn't feel so bad. I'm kind of proud that I'm still an Expos fan. And not just for nostalgic bullshit purposes. Like, I'm actually an Expos fan. That I miss the Expos. And I think it's healthy, even, that it stings a bit to watch the Nats play in the playoffs. I think it'd be really weird if I was completely detached right now and totally indifferent to it. And I got to say that anybody who says that they're indifferent, I don't really believe them. I don't know how you can be. I don't know how you can be as passionate as some of us were and feel indifference towards it.
It's a transition period, and I think the transition period starts now. Instead of looking back all the time and saying, oh, geez, woe is me. I wish, you know, it's now it's start. I'm starting to let go of that. It doesn't really bother me anymore. I look at the stadium, I look at the uniform, I look at the personnel, I look at the fans.
But it's not woe is me. I hope that's not what I'm giving off. I hope that's not the feeling that the article did.
It gives it off a little bit, like, ah, that stings, you know.
Well, no, of course it stings.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, and I can't sugarcoat that it stings. Yeah. It stings a hell of a lot less now than it did 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's there.
It's there.
And it's plain as, what's the line in the rest of development? It's plain as the egg on Ann's face. Plain as the Ann on egg's face. it's harder now that they're good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking about this today. Thank goodness we didn't have to go through what Nordiques fans went through for the team to leave and win the Stanley Cup the next year. That must have
been with much of the same personnel.
Right. Although that I think allowed them to feel like it was theirs as well. If the Nats win,
I know, but it was weird.
I know. Well,
it's just too weird.
I remember they celebrated in the streets in Quebec City when the Avalanche won the Cup. If the Nationals win the World Series in 2012 or any year after that,
it's like dating your brother's ex-girlfriend. It's just, you know, you're happy, but it's weird. Right?
Well, I don't really get it, but it's
no,
like
that's fine.
The Nationals, Expos to the Nationals is like dating your brother's ex. I'm just doing the English part of the SAT test.
Well, you're happy you got a new girlfriend, but, you know, she's kind of been somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, never mind. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
That's way worse
just
than
go on.
Dion Phaneuf and Sean Avery. Come on, man.
Whatever. No, I'm not. Whatever. Okay. That's fine. Go ahead.
It's not meant to come off as woe is me, because frankly, we have it pretty good in this town.
And absolutely.
And it just sucks that it happened. It's a reality. But much like that reality, I think it's fair that I've tried hard to not gloss over the fact that it is the same franchise. It's you can lie to yourself all you want and say, well, they aren't the same. It's the same franchise.
Yeah. And that,
it is.
Yeah. And that sparked something with me, too, on the flip side of, you know, what I'm saying. I'm not saying, because there are people out there saying, oh, get over it. It's all over. Get over it. Forget about it. You know, stop. It's, you know what it is? It's just annoying them. And you know what? The people that say get over it, Expos are gone, they're going to be the first in line
when we
get that franchise back. Oh, yes, they will. They'll all be there on opening day.
Yeah, but they'll be behind you and I, man.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, but they'll that's because I'll push them. Get out of my way. I'll call them out on it, too.
Yeah.
They'll all be there.
I relish the opportunity to call people out on that.
You need to have the fire to bring something back. And the only way you can get that fire is by remembering what you had.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar will be back after the break.
And a soft friend, he's a I got it. The blues, man. I got three shows tonight, honey. We're going to have some fun till 5 o'clock, honey. And the fool is going to stop.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Motown Blood by Mondo Diao. Sweden's finest. You know, they wrote a song called Welcome Home, Luc Robitaille?
Yeah.
Kind of cool. I know you know. That's what I'm saying. I know you know. You know everything I know.
My
makes
brother,
for a little bit of a repetitive radio show sometimes.
My brother met Luc Robitaille once.
Did he?
Yeah, and somebody introduced my brother and said, well, he's the guy that feels like 93. And Luc Robitaille told my brother to go F himself.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then walked away. He wasn't even joking.
I met Luc Robitaille at the 93 All-Star Game, which, funnily enough, I was just telling this story, and what the hell, it's a good one. So this is the story of how Joey from Full House ruined the greatest autograph I ever got. I was at the 93 All-Star Game with a buddy.
This is going to be captivating.
There was a... Joey, of course, is Dave Coulier, who is the subject of Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know. Think about the lyrics to that song for a second. Just recall them in your minds.
Something about a movie theater.
Something about a movie theater.
Yeah.
Picture Joey. Cut it out, Joey. So, 93 All-Star Game, the Friday with the skills competition, there was... I was standing inside the entrance, the media entrance at the Forum, with my buddy Khalil, and we're watching all of our favorite hockey players walk in, and the back of my program from the 93 All-Star Game has Luc Robitaille's autograph and Brett Hull's autograph, and then I meet Wayne Gretzky. Never, the only time I've ever been nervous in my life with an athlete was asking Wayne Gretzky for his autograph. And then, whoa, look, it's Dave Coulier. How cool is that? Will you sign my program too?
Oh, God.
I know.
Why would you want to degrade the value of it?
I, you know, before you were making fun of 12-year-old Dave Kaufman for being pro-American, I think this is the 12-year-old Dave you really want to make fun of.
Mm.
I have that program somewhere. There's no way I would have tossed out a Gretzky autograph.
Right.
But, yeah, Dave Coulier. That thing would be framed and up if not for Dave Coulier's autograph on it. I mean, even Phil Housley was on the damn thing. It was like... I remember the Gretzky autograph. I was the commissioner of the NHL at that time was, I think, Gil Stein. Very brief in between Ziegler and Bettman was Gil Stein. And I'm standing there and Gil Stein is signing the program inside his picture, like this little note from the commissioner. And I looked at him halfway through the autograph and said, sir, Wayne Gretzky's over there. Do you mind if I... Sorry, commish. F.O. Things wouldn't change much anymore, I don't think.
No. Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier and Gary Bettman walk into a bar. Whoever can finish that punchline tonight for us, I will buy a beer at McLean's Pub.
Dave Coulier and Gary Bettman walk into a bar.
Yeah, I feel like it's the start of something brilliant, but you know, I've got a show to do, so I can't come up with the rest. Maybe if Steve Patterson's listening, he can fill in the blanks for us.
He would.
I know
he would. He can do that,
and it would be
easily.
Good. And it would
that's
be
what
good.
He does for a living: fill in blanks.
He's a funny man.
Yes, he is.
I saw him at the Comedy Works on Bishop Street the last time he was in town doing shows, and yeah,
Yeah, you
yeah.
You haven't seen Patterson until you've seen me and him and a couple of pints.
Well, I've heard you guys. You know,
well, we had him on the show.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But no, you know what it was? This was a long time ago, actually. It was St. Patrick's Day weekend when he did the, which you were at, the breakfast.
Yes.
The tribute to Bill Hurley at the wonderful breakfast that they do every year. Anyways, that's it. That's when I saw Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He was great.
I'm sure you all enjoyed that little anecdote.
He was great that day.
So, where do you want to go? You want to talk some MLB? You want to talk some NFL?
I go wherever you go, sir.
Aw. If you walk away, I will follow? Is that what's going on?
No, not necessarily, but
okay.
When we're on radio, okay.
Well, okay, let's briefly touch on some NFL stuff because, frankly, tonight was supposed to be a whitewash, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that kind of interesting. The fact that, well, first of all, Tebow was not a factor, but I feel like everybody and their mother was on Houston tonight,
mm-hmm.
who did not cover the spread, who kept it close for the Jets. And I wonder, does this give a Jets fan hope to know that they hung with arguably the best team in the NFL? Or maybe Houston's just not that good. Their opponents have shown are worse than they are good.
Not the way the offensive coordinators handled the end of the game. They were kind of self-defeating, weren't they? I mean, you heard Boomer Esiason going crazy on the radio saying, come on, get it together.
But I think Boomer's just in a weird mood today because he was chirping at Brandon Prust on Twitter.
Yeah. Boomer's had a bad day.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
It is his former team. I guess he's feeling it a little bit. But
Prust tweets out that he'd played two rounds at Bethpage Black today, which is one of the most beautiful public courses in the United States, where they've had several U.S. Opens,
mm-hmm.
and anybody can play. You just have to line up at like 5 in the morning.
If you're a woman?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. It's,
good.
It's,
you progress.
Could be a woman, you could be black and play.
Come on.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
Golf is, Jay?
Golf is hitting the 1950s.
They
good
even
for
let
them.
Jews in, okay?
Get out of here.
I know.
Okay.
It's a mitzvah.
It's a golf mitzvah.
So Prust writes that he'd played two rounds today, and Boomer tweets at him, I don't care now that you're not a Ranger anymore. I hope you bogeyed every hole.
Wow, that's a nice thing to say.
Yeah. Had to go Boomer.
He did have a point when he was saying, I mean, kind of, you know, the way, that, I don't know what you think about this, the way they bring in Tebow once in a while for certain situations.
Yeah.
And kind of ruining, you know, I mean, Sanchez has got something going on and they just throw in Tebow in a certain offensive situation and kind of ruining Sanchez's groove, I guess. And Boomer was touching on that a little bit, saying, why would they do that? Because it's Tebow? I mean, what's the point? They want to sell more jerseys, you know?
I don't know if that's to sell jerseys. I mean, like, he came in on a fake punt, didn't he, tonight?
Yeah. And I know that they use second stringers to do certain situations, maybe perhaps because they're getting a new playbook for Sanchez. The offense is not working. But, you know, especially at the end of the game, it was kind of a tight game. Things were going on. The offense wasn't being coordinated very well. And then Tebow pops up in the field to the point that the announcer called him Sanchez. Because
really?
He wasn't expecting him to be there.
How often do you think that Tebow gets the Flutie comparison?
Yeah. Well, I don't think often enough. He ain't no Doug Flutie.
Well, he ain't no Doug Flutie because we watched Doug Flutie dominate the CFL. But Doug Flutie went in to the NFL, played for the Bills, and played quite well.
Yeah.
I mean, played well above his head and frankly couldn't see over his offensive line. But I feel like that comparison is there because
he's a clutch guy.
Well, not only that, it's not your typical quarterback.
Right.
And because of that, it seems to give people the willies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say Tebow can't throw at the level that will allow a quarterback to have success in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's a terrible insurance policy if Sanchez goes down, but I think that's how you have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's weird that the Jets made this like a marketing initiative.
And that's it.
I said that this afternoon on air that the jerseys throughout, I mean, you see Tebow jerseys all around Manhattan. And it kind of has replaced the Jeremy Lin jersey or the Jeremy Lin phenomenon in New York, if you will.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe the Jets can afford to have that
Tebow's like the Octomom of the NFL.
He's the Nadia Suleiman, is he?
Yeah, because people are more laughing at him than anything else, aren't they? The guy breeds a little bit of success, gets his 15 minutes, and it kind of becomes a joke afterwards.
But he was a champion in college. It's not like this is some schlub picked up off the street.
Sure, which is why I question why they put him in certain situations, especially at the end of the game. Your quarterback's got a groove. The Jets, they played hard tonight. They really took it to the Texans, and it seems to have been bad coaching that screwed them over. So, you know,
I got to be honest with you, Jay.
You keep your quarterback in.
I watched, I had an eye on the football game, but I was very much concentrated on the Yankee-Oriole game.
Okay.
Which is why we brought you the last at-bat of the game here on the show today.
Live.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I hope we can do that throughout the playoffs. I think that would be a lot of fun. I will give you my the Dave Kaufman guarantee that if we're on air and there's baseball going on, we will bring it to you. That's right.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Meantime, we're about 10, 15 minutes away from Chad Cordero joining us on the program.
Nice.
Yeah, looking forward to catching up with Chad. It's been too long. The last time we spoke to Chad was in February. So
was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Seems like it was sooner than that. Great interview. Like the guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy. Good guy. You know, this music just started, and now I want to have a conversation. Did you watch the debate last week?
Yes, a little bit of it, until I got bored of those guys loving each other.
Loving it? You mean staring at their shoes?
Yeah, pretty much.
Man, no.
Their unprepared shoes.
Threatening to kill Big Bird. That was messed up, man.
Stupid.
That was messed up.
Far be it for them to talk about anything important.
You know, let's start a few less wars, and we can keep PBS. Maybe that's the trade-off.
Yeah.
Foreign policy debate is, I think, the next one. And, wow, Obama had better kick Romney's ass or trouble. Right now it's tied, Jay.
Is it?
Yeah.
According to what?
According to the new polls.
Yeah. Which poll? Every day it's a different poll saying a different thing. Polls are notoriously unreliable.
For the first time now, they're even in most polls. Every single one had the president with a 4 or 5 point lead before.
God, so, people are so stupid.
I know. It's terrible.
I'm sorry, but people in large numbers are incredibly stupid. That's why I only deal with the individual. Individuals on an individual basis, I love. People in groups of more than five, I hate them.
Jay's a big fan of Bill 78.
Yeah.
No groups of 50 with you, eh, bud?
People are dumb. Do your homework. Don't just watch TV and then make a choice.
Tomorrow is...
And if you're undecided, you're an idiot.
Tomorrow is Tuesday. And you want to have a couple of people help sway you. Paul Ryan versus Joe Biden tomorrow night. Well, that's okay. You can watch baseball instead.
What?
I'm kidding.
At least baseball's honest. Most of the time, right.
Most of the time. The game is. Till they call an infield fly rule. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back. She has an ugly side. We're looking for a leader
in this country far and wide. Heavy head tonight on the bed. The California star.
welcome back to the Kaufman Show. I've said it before, or I'll say it again. You guys all just missed the best segment.
Stop yelling.
I know.
What are you yelling for?
I'm cool. I'm cool,
jeez,
man. I'm cool. As somebody once used to say, relax and all, rub your temples. Let's go to the phones. Good friend of the show, his name has already come up tonight, joins us from San Francisco, California, Mr. Max Harris on the Kaufman Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, gentlemen. It's great to talk to you guys.
How are you?
I'm good. You know what? California ain't so bad.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be. How many ball games have you been to this year?
Oh, boy. 9 Giants games and 8 A's games.
Pretty sweet. And I think you're going to another A's game, aren't you?
Quite a contrast in stadiums.
A little bit, but you know what? We'll only go to another A's game if they can pull it out and prevail to the ALCS, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Okay, so they need to sweep the Tigers for you to get to another ball game, another American League ball game this year.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, fingers were crossed before, but they're doubly crossed now.
Well, I mean, I can't really complain. I've had my fix out here, so whatever happens at this point.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of live sports, aren't you? You're getting to an NFL game a week, a college game a week, and a ball game pretty often too, huh?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
But the reason why I called Dave tonight is I couldn't help but overhear your conversation about DC.
It's funny how radio works like that, eh? When we have a conversation, people can just overhear it. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's a weird medium.
He couldn't help it either, he said.
So, yeah, you, course, I mean, yeah, please.
Yeah, I read your op-ed in the Gazette. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Max.
But at the same time, I do disagree a little. I look at this Washington team, and you know what? 2-3 years ago, if you would have said Washington's going to the World Series, I would have freaked out. Mm-hmm. Now, not so much, and I'll tell you why. I feel that enough time has elapsed that, not that I'm over the Expos, but I don't look at these guys as the Expos. Bryce Harper would never have been an Expo. Strasburg, Gio, all those guys would never have been Expos. So from that respect, to me, watching those fans celebrate is no different than watching Giants fans celebrate in 2010 or the Cardinals last year or any other fan base. It's the seeing other teams celebrate those moments and knowing that I can't quite. I mean, I've gone to all these Giants and A's games. I've pulled for them. They're fun teams to watch. But knowing that I cannot feel the same joy that the fan sitting next to me does, that to me doesn't matter who the team is, frankly.
Yeah, I see what you're saying with that. For me, it resonates more so with that team than it has with any other. With other teams, I can, and again, it's, you know, I was genuinely happy for the fans watching them celebrate when the Nats clinched and they ran out with the champagne and started spraying the crowd. I thought that was really cool. And it didn't make me think, oh, that should have been us. It's just, you know, and maybe I'm not, perhaps I am not an eloquent enough person to describe my feelings.
Oh, I think
but
you are.
It just, there's this feeling, and today watching them, I didn't feel any joy watching them get thumped by the Cardinals either.
It's just
this numbness. And you know, somebody today told me, Max, that I need, that perhaps they should have an intervention for me, that I need to let go.
Well, I mean,
Jay
seems to like that idea.
Pardon?
Yeah. I would fly back if need be for that.
Well, I don't think it's quite that dire, to be honest with you. I don't, you know, I really don't think it's that bad.
You know what
just,
really bothers me?
What?
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay, Jay.
No, I'm going.
It's not even the team's success or failures. I don't really give a damn either way. What bothers me is get Carter and Dawson's name off your stadium. Because I'm sorry, you're not us. You don't deserve those names up there. And we'll put them up when we get our franchise back.
But those,
that really, really stings me. And you know what?
No, I see what you're saying, Jay.
It's not because they don't deserve to have their names up there. Obviously they do. But it's in the wrong damn place.
I got to say, when they did finally do that, it made me happy. And you know what, Jay? You had the picture on your phone for the longest time.
Only because of the tear in Dawson's eye.
Well, yeah, but how heavy was that, man?
It was heavy because it was Andre Dawson. He's my hero.
And
I was happy for him.
Right, and for Gary Carter.
Now it's enough. Take him down. You don't deserve to have him up there, Washington.
Okay, it would be very weird if Washington won the World Series and then decided to take down the Expos.
I'd be happy about it. Take it down. You never paid attention to us before. All of a sudden, Andre Dawson's in the Hall of Fame, and you want to recognize something, trying to give a little bit of legitimacy to your dumb franchise. Well, don't use us. Don't use us for it.
That was.
No, I'm with you on that one, Jay. And I think if I was turning on the TV and I saw it was Throwback Day in Washington, I'm not sure I'd want them wearing Expos uniforms.
They did
I'd
that last year for a spring
I know,
for
I
a
like
for a BP. They all wore Expos hats.
I'd rather see them honor the Senators or honor the Grays. I mean, Washington does have a great baseball history, and I think that sports are so civic that you should really just stick with your city. Like, I like that the Cleveland Browns got their records back when they got a team back.
100%.
Really cool.
I agree 100% with you, Max.
That's how it should be, Max. Unfortunately, in baseball, that's not really how it is. They they really adhere to the franchise rules.
Especially when your ball cap is selling a lot, you know?
Yeah.
That helps, too.
In San Francisco, which I find very weird, there is a popular concession item at AT&T Park called John McGraw's Derby Grill.
Wow.
John McGraw was the manager of the New York Giants in the 1900s.
Yeah, and you
100
know,
100 years ago.
You know what, Max? And
he
and,
was dead by the time they moved to San Francisco.
Max, in Oakland, they have banners celebrating all of the championships of the Philadelphia Athletics as well.
Yes, they do.
So, you know, you pick and choose, I
shouldn't
guess.
Shouldn't those be up in Philadelphia? I mean, you know, that's where it happened.
No, but back then the Phillies were stinking up the joint.
Yeah, I know, but still.
They didn't win until 1980.
But yeah, they should go by city, though.
Max, yeah. Thanks so much for the call, man. We miss you in Montreal, and can't wait for you to be back here around Christmas.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for calling.
There I like having Max him on because he agrees with me.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a smart man.
I don't like having people on that disagree with me.
He knows that's how he gets invited back.
That's exactly it. I'll have Max on anytime. Man knows what he's talking
he
about.
He does. Always a pleasure to have Max on the show, one of the great baseball minds that we've got. All right, so we're going to take one more call. No, I think, Jimmy, we're going to take a quick break right now, and we're going to get ready for Mr. Cordero. This is the Kaufman Show. And, yeah, we're going to talk to Chad the Chief on the other side. Maybe he's finally bent his damn cap. Bringing us in on the Kaufman Show. And I believe our next guest is ready. He's all warmed up and in to close it out for us here on the Kaufman Show. Frankly, there's nobody that I would rather have doing that for us, except for the hat. I still have issues with the hat.
Leave the hat. He started that. He started that. Every guy is wearing the hat that way.
Trendsetter and former Expo, former Washington National. And we're going to get his take on the MLB postseason, among other things. Welcome back to the program, Chad Cordero.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Just driving home from Disneyland, so everything's good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How are the fireworks?
It was good. We actually left right before they happened because it was getting a little bit too crowded, so wanted to beat the rush.
Cool. Well, I think it's very interesting that you spent the day at Disneyland instead of watching your former team play.
Yeah, I mean. You know, I caught the first couple of innings of the game and stuff, but then me and my wife were trying to plan a day to go to Disneyland because just the two of us. Cause, I mean, it's kind of hard to go on the rides that we want to go on when we take the two kids. So today, my mother-in-law had the day off, so we took the kids over there, dropped the kids off, and got to go on some big rides. So it was fun.
I saw you tweet out a couple of weeks ago that the California Disneyland is far superior to Florida's Disney World. Why is that?
I think it's just because I'm just so used to it. I mean, I grew up within 20 minutes from there, so you know, I just used to going to Disneyland like all the time, and it was just a lot of fun. Plus, like the Disney World is just, I don't know, it's just too much, you know. It's hard to go on all the rides and stuff. You know, you take buses everywhere. It takes so long to get to each place, and I don't know. Disneyland's just a lot more fun.
How's the comeback going, Chad?
It's going pretty good. I'm actually going to Japan here in about a week to work to train with the old strength coach from the Nationals, because he's from Japan and stuff, and I got in contact with him, and I'm going to go out there for about a month to work out. So everything's going pretty good right now.
That's not the same guy that was with the Expos, is it?
Yeah, Kazoo. Yeah, I've known him since I first started and stuff, and just they always did in contact with him. And he always kind of, he gave me an invite a couple years ago. I just had never took him up on it, so I thought about it this year. I was like, you know, why not? Go get him a shot. You know, I want to be in the best shape I could possibly be in. So, you know, I'm gonna go do that. Plus, I know how hard the Japanese work. So I figured go out there, work out for, you know, a couple of weeks and, you know, see what happens.
So what's the plan then? Is to go out there for a bit and then start getting in touch with Major League Team, seeing who wants to invite you down for spring training?
Yeah, I've been throwing for about the last month. And stuff, and last 2 months, and so I'll go over there, you know, continue to throw, lift, run, do everything I can to get ready. And then once I get back, you know, I'll have my agent hopefully, call some teams and stuff, and hopefully set up a workout. So
earlier, about a month ago, you took a trip to Washington, and did you throw at a first pitch, or were you honored before the game, or something like that?
Yeah, I was actually able to throw out the first pitch against the Braves one game, and it was awesome. It was actually like a dream come true. You know, I never thought, you know, I'd ever have a chance to throw out a first pitch, and you know, just an opportunity arose where, you know, they offered to have me out there, and I jumped on it. So it was a lot of fun. They gave me a jersey and stuff, and my whole family got to go out on the field with me. So it was really cool.
Would you say that that's your team, or have you sort of since retirement reverted to the team that you cheered for growing up?
No, I'm still, you know, still a Nationals fan. You know, I mean, I grew up a Giants fan, you know, too. So I still, you know, try to follow them as well. But you know, I'm a Nationals fan now. You know, diehard now. So you know, I try and follow them as much as I can. You know, so you know, because I mean, I still have a lot of ties there. You know, now my old college catcher and roommate is actually their starting catcher now, Kurt Suzuki. So I even have even more time now there too. So, you know, I try to follow them as much as I can.
What if Montreal gets a team, Chad? Put you on the spot here a little bit.
I'm going to have to root for them too. I might even have to take a trip out there.
Well, I think you could take a trip out here, Chad, without there being a ball club. There's, I'm sure a lot of people would benefit from, you know, there's a lot of kids out here that would love to gain some knowledge from you on how to play the game properly.
I don't know. I would love to do that. I mean, I've always talked to my wife, because she's never been out there before. I always talked about how great of a city it was. You know, it's just a shame that, you know, baseball wasn't able to, you know, to stick there. But I love this city. I always told my wife, it just reminded me of, like, you know, being in Europe or something. You know, it was just so different than anywhere else I'd ever been.
We're in conversation with former Expo and National Chad Cordero, and seems to be we're in the midst of trying to convince him. Doesn't seem to be too hard to convince him that he's going to be having to come to Montreal soon.
So. Yeah, you don't have to twist my arm too hard.
No, good stuff. Good
be
to
cool
know.
To see him in uniform that, one of these days.
Sounds like it's going to happen. And you know, it's you broke the story with us last February, and we really appreciated it. And Jay and I both laughed a lot when we saw it in the news in, what was it, May or June?
Chad Cordero, yeah, we knew that comeback. Already.
Exactly. Are you still a mentor to Ricky Romero?
You know, I mean, I haven't really talked to him in a while and stuff, you know. But I'll see him at all the college alumni events and stuff, and so, you know, I'll talk to him over there. But you know, I haven't really stayed in too much contact with him. But you know, but it was hard, you know, watching him this year. You know, me and my wife and I, she went to school with him too, so we all, you know, we both know him, and it was tough to see him go through that. You know, you never want to see a pitcher go through that, but especially someone you've known for so long and went to school with and stuff, it makes it even harder.
You can tell, or one can tell watching him, that it was a mental issue, not a physical issue. And
right.
You know, is that something that most ball players go through at one point or another?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I remember with me, I used to struggle with the Braves, and it was more of a mental thing, because especially, you know, for me,
whenever we played down in Atlanta, they would always show this one clip every time I came in of me giving up a grand slam, a walk-off grand slam to Jeff Francoeur. It always kind of got in my head, you know? So I think every pitcher or every player, whether you're a pitcher or position player, you know, you go through mental breakdowns sometimes where, you know, or you just struggle and you just can't snap out of it.
You know, I look at someone like Josh Hamilton and what he's dealing with right now, and you know, you could tell that it really got to him at the end, that the team funk really got to him, that the fans booing him, it's got to be there's a whole other aspect to this that I don't think that people think about when they watch professional athletes, but they are attuned to what's going on around them. It's not, you can't constantly be, you know, ice water in your veins.
Exactly. I mean, no matter how much, you know, a player says, you know, or they're not worried about that, you know, deep down inside they are, you know, otherwise, you know, they wouldn't say that because, I mean, they have everybody bringing up stuff, you know, like with Josh, you know, him, his contract situation, you know, kind of struggling, you know, especially after making that big error that pretty much cost him the division title, you know, it weighs on guys, you know, and, you know, fans do kind of fail to realize just how much, you know, everything outside of the game kind of affects players, you know, because it, you know, they're just like, you know, everybody else. So they have feelings. They get hurt sometimes, and you know, they have to deal with stuff just like everybody else.
I think a good example of that, Chad, would be Pat Neshek last week.
Yeah,
which would imagine is something that you know, not a lot of people, thank God, go through, but unfortunately, you did.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, hearing about him, and you know, we have some mutual friends, so my wife was able to kind of get in contact with his wife and talk to them about kind of the stuff that we've gone through. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, losing a child, you know, it's something that, you know, it's a every parent's worst nightmare. And, you know, you hope, you know, nobody has to go through it, but unfortunately people do. And, you know, especially, you know, being a baseball player, you know, I think we're two of the only ones, I think, that I know of who have had to deal with that, you know, and unfortunately for him, and he was on top of the world, you know, the A's had just, you know, won the division title and stuff, so he was on top of the world, and to have everything come crashing down like that, it's just, you know, it's awful. And then, but for him to be able to go out there, you know, and throw in a playoff game just a couple days after that happened, I mean, that's something that had to be so hard for him, but at the same time, it probably helped him so much to kind of just get out there back on the field and, you know, back into his comfort zone. I think that's, you know, because everybody grieves differently, and I think that's probably going to help him get through it.
I imagine that his teammates appreciated him wanting to be there with them and rallied around him as well.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, you're with your teammates more than you are with your family, you know, during the season and stuff. And so I think, you know, for him to be there with his teammates and, you know, to be around them, you know, they're gonna be his comfort. You know, they're gonna help him get through it. They're gonna do whatever they can, and I'm sure they love having him come back. And you know, I think, you know, hopefully, you know, they can kind of pull it through and continue it. Because I think the more he's around his teammates, I think the better off he's gonna be.
We're finishing up with former major leaguer Chad Cordero. Chad, last time we spoke in the winter, you seemed a little bit hesitant to be embarking on a season without baseball. Now that you've done that, how does it feel? Do you miss it even more?
I miss it so much. You know, it's, you know, baseball is my life. You know what I mean? It's something that I grew up with. I've been playing since I was 4 years old, you know, so, you know, it's everything that I know, but at the same time, this last year and a half being home, it's been the best thing that could ever have happened, you know, for me. I mean, I've been able to be home every day with, you know, with my wife and my kids, you know, and it's been awesome, and we've been able to do so much stuff that baseball kind of was taken away from a little bit. You know, we got to go on a huge summer trip this, you know, we actually just got back from our summer trip about a week ago. So, you know, it's just allowed us so much stuff to be able to do and to spend, you know, time as a family. Whereas, you know, if I was still with baseball, you know, right now, you know, I wouldn't be able to do it. You know, but so being home with my family is. It's been the best thing I think that could have ever happened, you know. But at the same time, I'm ready to go out there and play again, you know. I can't wait to get back on the mound again, and hopefully I can. You know, if it happens, it happens. If not, you know, I'm going to go out there and give it my best shot. But, I mean, being home, like I said, it's been the best thing that could ever happen.
Chad, it's such a pleasure catching up with you as always, man.
Oh, thank you.
We'll get in touch when you get back from Japan, and we'll see if we can get you out to Montreal this winter.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right, no problem.
Have a great night. There he goes, Chad Cordero. One of my my favorite reasons to go down to the Olympic Stadium in 2004, by far.
This ain't no Roger Clemens scenario. This guy is still young, and he's well-determined, and unlike Mr. Clemens, he's got nothing to prove. He's going to go out there, and he's going to do his best, and we are certainly rooting for him.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back on the Kaufman Show.
I'm Jay.
You can reach me at The Kaufman Show on Twitter.
You can reach me at JPub Radio on Twitter.
Some kind of contest or something? Everything I say, you say?
I'm better.
All right.
Better than you.
No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am.
No, you.
What a pleasure to talk with Chad Cordero.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. He was great when we had him on last time, giving his history with the Expos in chronological order. And if you do want to go back through the archives, it's still up there. I believe the show was on February, 12th or something like that.
Okay.
It was Chad Cordero, Jim Hewson, and Joel Plaskett.
You know, you meet a lot of guys. I've met a lot of athletes, a lot of baseball players, a lot of hockey players, and they rarely come off like this. His candor, and he's so genuine, and I just enjoy talking to him. And you could tell when a guy has class and when he doesn't, because I'm a superb judge of character because I deal with it every day. And I'm telling you, people, I've never met him in person, but just by listening to him, you could tell this guy's a class act.
Let's go to another class act. We got Steve in Redondo Beach, California. Good evening, Expo.
Good evening. That's putting a lot of pressure on me.
Oh.
Followed up Chad Cordero.
Apparently, a class act.
It was just lip service. Come on.
No, it isn't. How are you guys doing?
We're very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm calling to congratulate you, but also to critique you a little bit. I don't know if anybody discussed the article that you wrote in the Gazette last week.
Yeah, most people have said exactly that. It usually goes, great article, I disagree with, and then I cut you off and go, what, man? You disagree with my feelings? What, you don't like my feelings, how I feel?
I do not like your feelings in this particular case.
Go ahead, Steve.
I take umbrage with the fact that the Nationals have embraced the Expos. I'm not going to go through the whole history of what happened initially, and I know there's been a change of ownership. I just think they sort of attempted to commercialize Dawson's entry into the Hall of Fame, and while that was very nice, they really had, you know, by putting up putting him in the ring, and Gary Carter in the Ring of Fame, I suppose that's what it's called there.
Right. Throwing their names in the ring, if you will.
Right, but the thing, you know, I don't know if you watch the games or if you follow them at all, not that I do, but we had retired numbers, and now we have a deceased Hall of Famer, and his number is being literally worn by the second baseman.
I'll tell you what, I was sitting in studio tonight, and I have not watched a lot of Nationals baseball for reasons already discussed on this show, throughout the history of this show. But I was watching today, and when I saw Espinoza boot the grounder at second base, I looked over at Eric Thomas and said, that's supposed to happen because he's wearing number 8. And I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel if they had if they retired Gary Carter's number and Rusty Staub's number.
Let them have their numbers.
I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
And take Dawson and Carter's name off the stadium.
It would be another reminder.
Yeah, no, it's not even a reminder. It's just not the same team. Who cares? Stop trying to cash in on the Expos.
Jay, I completely agree with you. Yeah. I'm happy that now that they haven't retired their numbers. Let them have their franchise. Let them move on and leave us with our history and our memories. And if we get a team back, it'll be easier for us to use the name Expos.
Agreed.
Hear, hear.
And then we can have our own Wall of Fame or Ring of Fame or whatever.
Yeah, because, Steve, you'd have to change your name if they aren't the Expos. You'd have to be whatever they are. It would be you'd have to be the singular of whatever they are.
Well, you know, when I show up in Montreal, my nickname's going to be Dodger.
There you go. Exactly.
Anyway, it was great reading the article, but that was the only thing I wanted to point out.
You know what? And I mentioned earlier that Anakin Slade had said something similar to me, and frankly, I just hadn't thought of it. It did not cross my mind, or that would have been a point. And mea culpa.
No problem. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Good work, guys.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye, Jay.
Goodbye, Steve. Say hi to my brother if he's still there.
Will do. Bye.
That is Steve in Redondo Beach. Max Harris weighing in on Twitter. The Kaufman Show has taken 3 calls from California tonight. That has to be a record.
That's true.
Yeah. California and we had Denver, which
yes.
is not in California. But
yeah, everybody west of the Rockies, as they like to say, or right on the Rockies.
We're big in Japan, too.
Are we?
Yeah.
We've hit it big in Japan?
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
What you never know. Hasselhoff made it in Germany.
Hey, Cromartie made it in Japan.
Yes, he did.
Okay,
he was a good player, too.
We're not? Come on. Warren Cromartie, can't wait for you to be back in Montreal. Rumor has it that Warren will be back in Montreal, for an autograph signing at the end of the month. All of you Expos fans, get down there, show Warren your support, and ask him, where are we at? What's going on? As my British friends say, what's the crack?
The Irish say that, too.
Maybe. I just pretend they're British just to piss them off.
I like that crowd's been quiet. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. It's kind of like the private meetings in the NHL, you know?
You're hoping
something's getting done there.
Such a good sign, those NHL private
working
meetings.
Behind the scenes, you know, getting stuff done.
Jay, I want to thank you for bringing that up. We have 1 minute left in the show. It's a good thing we talk a little hockey.
Why? There's nothing going on.
Not a damn thing.
Yeah. Then there's your minute. There's your NHL update with Dave and Jay.
They met today about meeting tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
They set a plan to set up. That's it. They set a plan to set a plan, which they will eventually plan out once both sides decide if that's the right plan to take. Was that confusing enough for you? Because really, you could be in the room and it wouldn't be any less confusing.
Bring an arbitrator in there.
Yes, Sonia Sotomayor.
Somebody. Who cares who it is?
Oh. She saved baseball and then became a Supreme Court justice.
That worked out.
Yeah. I mean, she's no Warren Burger.
Who?
Burger.
Warren Burger.
I want to thank Chad Cordero for joining us tonight. Was great, as always, to catch up with a former Expo who, like I said before, was a real bright light at the end when things were really, really dark.
How ironic that we're talking about the difference between the Nationals and the Expos, and then we get a guy on who's basically there at the transition.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
it's called some kind of irony. I don't know what it is. I'm looking for it.
I think it's called a good producer.
There it is.
Our thanks to John Kakalakis and Jimmy Garofalos for their work tonight. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Dave. It was a pleasure, as usual.
As always, man.
Thanks to our callers. There'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your bed. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature 10.
If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand. Face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?